with respect to this series, one guy that at least I would expect to make the list is Eric Mould, the second all-time receiver in Bills history, is joining us on the line now, three-time Pro Bowler, and a guy whose career I had the privilege to cover. Eric, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
We're doing okay. You know, this is kind of an interesting thing, seeing the top 10 offensive players of all time in Bills history, and you've got my vote for being on the list. I'll say that. I don't know about Donald.
You have my vote, Eric. It's all good.
I appreciate it, Donald.
But I don't know, man. My boy Stevie Johnson, man, he should be giving you. Nah, I'm just messing with you.
So, Eric, I'm assuming that you know, the guys that put this show together probably interviewed you. Did they get a chance to talk to you, or?
No, you know, they talked to me at one point in time, and they were asking me about it. You know, it's you know, obviously it's an honor to even be considered that, you know, with a story franchise like the Bills. So obviously it's a great accomplishment if I'm on that team. So, you know, obviously, you know, it's so many great players that can be on that list. You know, and O'Donnell said something about Stevie. I'm a big Stevie Johnson fan. I coached Stevie one off season when I was in San Diego doing the internship for San Diego, and we hit it off. We came pretty close. So Stevie is the guy that I pulled for, and it's a lot of guys that could easily go on that list.
And then Eric, I was telling Donald, I kind of was teasing Donald a little bit because the years kind of run together for me, and the details of the stories don't really help me all that much because they get lost in the shuffle. But when you were a rookie, you know, Thurman, you were kind of known here as a prankster in the locker room with guys. But
yeah,
when you were a rookie, Thurman put the prank on you. Do you remember that practice and what happened when a certain delivery service came?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I remember that. You know, it was, you know, obviously it was a big deal when I got drafted, you know, being a first-round pick. And you hear about the story about that I ordered a pizza. Actually, you know, the story kind of got mixed up a little bit. It was actually our seniors that ordered a pizza, but me being the guy that was going to be the first round pick, I got most of the blame for it. So I took the blame for it, and, you know, obviously, you know, the guys, when I got to Buffalo, the guys had a great time with it. And, you know, we were out at practice, and I didn't know what was going on. And, you know, I heard the crowd roaring, and I looked up, and I saw Thurman running out with two pieces. And, you know, obviously I was tickled to death about it. But, you know, obviously I think the offensive linemen loved it more because they got a chance to eat some free pizza.
Yeah. So just to recap, like, as a senior at Mississippi State, pizza was delivered to practice one time?
Yeah, it was our last game of the season. It was against our Ole Miss, and me and some seniors, we decided, hey, let's do something fun our last practice, and we ordered a pizza. We had a phone on the practice field, which was kind of odd, but we ordered a pizza on the practice, not knowing if the pizza guy would show up, but obviously he showed up, and he brought the pizza to us, and it became a big story during the draft.
It was crazy. It's kind of funny when you think about the stories now that happened and some of the horrible things that, you know, you hear about. I mean, how harmless does that sound? You know what I mean? But Thurman had a blast with it. Thurman comes running out with two pies at practice. And it's an open practice.
He was probably giggling the whole time. Like, now, Eric, was that the only time that pizza was ordered throughout the building?
Well, you know, during that practice time, that was really the only time. We had pizza ordered during practice, not during practice at the Bills, but before practices and things of that nature. But we never really had it done on the practice field. It was just one of those things in college that you were crazy college kids and you want to do something different. And we did it. You know, our coaches had a great time with it. Jackie Sherrill was my coach at the time, and he was one of those players' coaches that said, hey, it was just a pizza. Let's practice and have fun. You know, and I think it's one of those things that at the particular time it was blown out of proportion, but you know, like Mr. Brown said before, the things that happen now, that was just like a nothing thing.
Yeah. Now, Eric, I've always wanted to ask you this question because in the playoff game against the Dolphins, when you set the record for the franchise with 200, I think it was 240 yards on 9 catches, there was a play early in that game where you made a catch at midfield and then you lost the ball. And I can't help but thinking about that play and thinking, if you hold on to that ball, you're probably over 300, right?
Well, you know, what's funny about that, I had a guy that played for the Dolphins at that time. He was telling me about it, and he had the actual film, and we watched it. It was actually two plays. It was that play that if I don't get stripped, the first play of the game, it was a 60 or 70-yard pass I caught. and I got stripped and left 30 yards on the field. It was another particular play that they called back a touchdown where Flutie threw me a pass in the end zone, probably a 50-yarder. And they said I stepped out, but actually I was in. And they didn't replay it, so it could have been easily a 350-yard game.
Oh, my gosh. See, here at all this time, I'm thinking, oh, we would have had 300 with that first play.
We were looking at three and a half. No, Mr. Brown, you're wrong. I'd have had 350. Yeah.
That's crazy. Now, here's the thing, Eric. I remember, you know, your first 2 years getting adjusted to the NFL, it took you some time, you know, most of your time. You were a kick returner your first year, and, you know, your career really hadn't gained traction yet. And then you come into camp in 98, and you took over camp. It was one of the last camps at Fredonia, and I just remember every day you were making plays. Nobody could cover you, and I'm like, holy cow, it's coming. you know, and that was your first Pro Bowl year, obviously. My question is, what changed from that second year to that third year that led to such an explosion?
You know what I think it was? I think it was my mindset. You know, I got with, you know, I have to say this honestly, it was a little bit of Bruce Smith and Thurman Thomas, because they pulled me to the side and Thurman said, you know what, you're not reaching your potential. You need to go home and you need to work out every day and get yourself ready to play. And he challenged me every practice and every game. You know, I've had some games that year. I had like 198-yard games, 100 and a few of them against New England and against Cincinnati, a few other teams. And every time I did well, Thurman would say, that's not enough. You got to do better. So I'm kind of looking at him like, this guy's a future Hall of Famer. And I'm kind of looking, is he crazy or does he really know what he's talking about? And until that day, even that playoff game, I had like you said, I had 240 yards. And he was still in my ear like, it's not enough. You need to do more. And so it was that mindset that I had, that you got Hall of Famers that believe in you. So you got to take it to the next level. So that's what I did.
And that 98 season didn't start off right for that team either.
We started off 0-3.
0-3.
That was bad. That's bad. You start off 0-3, people are like, oh, y'all definitely not making the playoffs or anything close to it. Now, Eric, you talked about training Stevie Johnson. As you train receivers and as you watch receivers coming from college to the NFL now, what's the hardest thing for them to transition in going from college to the NFL in today's game?
You know, obviously it's going to be, you know, I think the athletes now are even a lot better and bigger, faster, stronger, and that's going to happen every year. With the way they train and they exercise and the more stuff they have to open themselves up to be better players. But I think the biggest thing that I see from players coming from college to the pros is being able to get off the bump and run. Obviously, the rules are different, and for a receiver, his head is going to be spinning. You're going to see guys that haven't traditionally seen a lot of bump and run, and you have a lot of teams now and players coming from the spread offenses. So that's great in a sense, because you got guys that can catch the football. But as you know, Donna, if you can't get off the bump and run, I call it, if you can't get out of the telephone booth, you're not going to be a good receiver. So if you can't get out of the telephone booth, you're going to be an average guy at the NFL level.
We're talking with Bills three-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Eric Moulds on the line here as we kind of talk about the upcoming television installment, the next installment in the Top 10 Bills series. The next one is the Top 10 Offensive Players of All Time. I think a lot of us certainly expect to see Eric on that list somewhere. Eric, as you think about it, and, you know, I know your history might be a little bit more limited to more of the modern-day Bills teams, but can you think of just players off the top of your head that you would definitely have from Bills history if you were to put a list together like this?
I probably could name a few guys. You know, obviously, you know, a lot of those obvious names are going to be Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, and Andre Reed. It's so many guys. You know what? I think that if you're making a list, you got to put guys like O.J. Simpson. Cookie Gilchrist, I think.
Right.
You got so many guys. Cookie, obviously, you know what, I would even go to that point and say that guys like James Lofton and possibly, you know, I would even put Don Beebe. Don Beebe, he didn't get a lot of credit, but he was an excellent receiver.
Yeah.
He made a lot of plays, and so you got so many guys, and you can go back in history and say a number of guys can be on that list. That's why it's a list that's very, very hard to do, because you have so many great offensive players. You know, I would even go back to Fred Jackson and guys like that. Fred was very impressive to me. I love Fred as a running back. You know, you got guys that play there like Marshawn, Fred, Stevie. You can go back even to Lee Evans, and you got so many guys that can go on that list because guys made so many plays. So it's a long list, but it's just that pretty much weeding out the guys that you don't want and the guys that made the most history, I think.
Hey, Eric, I got to put you on the spot now because we were just talking about this before we had you on and how hard it is to pick one and two. So I'm going to put you on that spot and say, who's number one in your opinion?
Oh, wow. Yeah. You know what? I would probably, you know, because, you know, obviously, Donald, because the quarterback position is so important, I would probably put one and two on that list. I'd probably have to go, you know, I'm kind of biased because the guy was my teammate and he was like my mentor. You know, I would say Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas probably obviously the best. You know, I would go with Andre Reed as maybe a 2B with Thurman Thomas, but obviously I think Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas probably two of the best offensive players to play there.
Well, we'll all be tuning in for sure on MSG on Monday night at 9 p.m. to find out who the internal committee went with. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I wasn't on that committee.
Right.
Because there's going to be some debating going on in the homes of Bills fans saying, either. What, you picked who for what?
Right.
How could you take that guy over that guy? But that's what makes it fun. And Eric, we thank you for joining us and spending some time with us to kind of go over that and reminisce a little bit. One last thing for you, though. Can you give me the most successful prank that you probably pulled in the locker room in your time here?
Probably the most successful prank we probably pulled was, you know what, it was back when Drew Bledsoe was here and those guys kept locking us in our locker, I mean, not the locker room, but the meeting room. And we couldn't get out. We couldn't figure out how they kept locking us inside. So when we eventually got out, we said, me and Peerless Price came up with something. I said, we got to get them back some kind of way. So what we did was Peerless said, let's go to the store and buy some of those. Remember the club where you would lock
the steering wheel.
The steering wheels up. So we went about 5 or 6 for the quarterbacks, and we went in their car, got their keys in the locker room, and locked their car up, and they were stuck at practice. So they had to wait for security and some other guys to come cut the locks off. So it was kind of one of those things. It was kind of back and forth that year.
So did you ever get locked in the meeting rooms after that?
No, this is what's crazy. I don't know if y'all heard about this, but after we did that, Drew Bledsoe, you know, we used to call him Long Money because he had that big contract in New England and he came to Buffalo, big contract. So he said, oh, you guys want to play that way. So he went and got a tow truck, and they took all the tires off of me and Perilous's car. And put them on brick. Yeah.
It was pretty intense back then, I got to say. I mean, we didn't get wind of a lot of it, but I knew something was going on.
Oh, yeah. That's it was crazy times. Back then.
All right, Eric, listen, thanks very much for the time. Good luck showing up on this list. We certainly expect to see you there somewhere. And we appreciate you joining us here. Have a good weekend.
Thanks. I appreciate you guys.